Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John. This passage is the last of the seven I am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel. As you listen, see what images come forth about Jesus and the vine. Just as the people of Israel were chosen people living on the vine, so too we belong to Jesus Christ and abide in his vine. This is John 15, verses 1 through 17 of the New Revised Standard Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Who likes grapes? Okay, nearly all of you, that's good. Have you ever thought about where grapes come from? Anyone?
California.
Dun, 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 right? Heard it through the grapevine, yes. So from the store, yes, they come from the store. Well, a single vine can produce many grapes, okay? And so this healthy clump of grapes, and I'm willing to share after the service, I'll put them over on the table. This healthy clump grew on a branch that was part of a vine, and then they cut it off and they put them into, you know, little containers or bags at the store, and you take them home and you wash them and you eat them, right? And the vine is attached to a root that is in the ground. And when a farmer or gardener plants the root in the ground, they need to tend it. To not tend the grapevine would mean that maybe it wouldn't produce healthy grapes. Might do it for a little while, but over time, to not care for the vine would mean that it's not going to produce healthy fruit. And if you've ever seen grapevines left on their own, or any sort of vine, they can run rampant and go all over the place. And the more they grow unattended, the less fruit they put in the vine. If you'll go to the next slide. This picture is the oldest grapevine in the world, and it's in Hampton Court Palace in England, and it was planted in 1768. Believe it or not, this grapevine, and actually we're only looking at about a fourth of it, because it's actually, or actually even probably a fifth of it, It's a long passageway on both sides, and you can walk underneath it. And it has one root. And the root is 2 feet across, and despite its age, the vine produces tons of grapes every single year. So lots and lots of these. Had to know that was going to happen at some point. I better pick it up, or who knows? Somebody might step on it. Chaos, when you come up, there's one over there you can grab. Don't squish it into the carpet. So some of the smaller branches are up to 200 feet away from that original root. And yet all life comes out of that one root that's in the ground, making this whole vine healthy and keep growing. Google it. It's kind of fun to read about it. Not right now, though, if you have your device. I know we like instant gratification, don't we? So this old vine is tended by pruning the branches, so each of those branches gets pruned, to produce more fruit, and dead branches, or branches that don't have any fruit ever growing on them, are cut away completely. The purpose of the vine is to bring nourishment to the branches in order for them to produce fruit. So we have the root, we have the vine, and we have the branches. And when the branches are separated from the vine, they wither and die. So whatever gets cut off withers and dies, unless you put it in some water and try to reroot it somewhere else. Our gospel lesson today from the book of John is the passage where Jesus, it's actually Jesus talking. So what Gail read was Jesus talking. If you have a red letter Bible, those words would have been in red. And he says that he is the true vine, bringing life to each of the branches. That's what today's scripture is about. Jesus teaching his disciples about what it means to be called to follow Jesus. And so Jesus shares this analogy of living connected to the vine of Jesus Christ. Now, grapes grow in the Holy Land area, and they had wine, and so this was not an unusual analogy for him to use, because they also talked about being connected to the vine that is God. The vitality of our individual spiritual lives are dependent upon how well we stay connected to the true vine of Jesus. Scripture tells us that Christ is the vine and God is the vine grower. So even kind of think of God as the roots giving the nourishment. Or God even being the gardener, God tending the vine. And the gardener cares for the branches and makes it so that they can be fruitful. So if Jesus is the vine and God is the gardener, then who are we? The branches. Okay, we're the branches who are called to produce fruit. Yes. And so my question for you is, what kind of branch are you? Are you growing and going wherever you wish? Are you the vine that just kind of randomly goes wherever? Are you taking life from the vine without giving anything back? Or are you going and growing where Jesus wants you to go and producing fruit as you go? Because that's really what we're called to do, is to be producers of fruit for God. We as Christians, we as followers of Christ, are called to be fruitful branches. And fruitful branches are the true believers who live in union with Christ. And the thing about being a fruitful branch is that we're also allowing Christ to prune us, to help us be more fruitful, to help us produce fruit. And that happens when we get sort of cut off or pruned ourselves. Because God wants things to happen in our lives so that we are fruitful for him. And then there are the branches that don't produce fruit. We probably know people who say they believe and yet have only made a superficial commitment to Jesus Christ. maybe just attending worship, not spending any time in prayer, maybe not going to a study, not serving for others, not giving gifts that are sacrificial. Those are the superficial commitment that doesn't produce fruit. Jesus wants us to make a difference in the ways that we produce fruit. Jesus is clear about what happens if we don't produce fruit. And this is kind of hard to hear, because if you're thinking, well, I'm kind of one of those people that just comes to worship and I don't really do much of anything else, Jesus wants you to bear fruit, and in order to do that, you got to work a little harder and do things that connect with Christ. Because branches that are taken off do not produce fruit and actually wither and die. So I brought a plant from my house, and I specifically left this kind of yucky leaf on there. And right now, this plant is trying to repair this brown leaf, which is probably not repairable, but a lot of energy is going into that brown leaf. And so we prune it off, okay? Now, the energy in the plant can go to the healthy plants, and it's no longer trying to repair this one that's there. So that's kind of the pruning. I'm going to go out on a limb and lop. Oh, sorry. Didn't notice that one, but that, ba-dum-bump. So I'm just going to lop off the top of my plant, okay? Hoping that it's okay. It did not need to be pruned. But what will happen to this if I don't do anything with it? Right, it's going to wither and die, right? It's just going to wither and die. And grapes and leaves, making a mess. But that's what happens when we separate ourselves from the vine that is Jesus. When we get cut off, we wither and die. God wants us to stay connected. But also, God, if we stay connected, God's going to prune us so that we produce fruit. And this isn't a fruit-bearing plant, but we can kind of pretend like it is. Life apart from the vine, from the root, is certain death. By pruning it, though, the plant becomes healthier. I want to ask you a question. So if you're a plant, if you're the vine, if you're one of these things, what do you cling to? What are some things that you cling to? This whole passage about the vine and the branches is that we're called to cling to the vine, right? The branches are called to cling to the vine that is Jesus. What do you cling to? Because we can cling to Jesus, or we can cling to worldly things. Some people cling to the worldly things of their bank account, or the status that they have in their job or in the community, or the possessions that they have. That can be the vine that you connect to. What happens on that vine, though, that's different than living on the vine of Jesus? It's not life-giving, is it? There's not life in that. It's not Jesus. There's so much more to living on the vine that is Jesus. And Jesus talks about what that's about. It says in order to be Christ's church, in order to be connected to Jesus Christ, we're called to abide in Christ. Scripture tells us, abide in me, Jesus says, and I also in you. I'll go to the next slide. Abide is an interesting word. We don't really use it in our English language that long, but it's in Scripture, and it says the phrase abiding in Christ pictures an intimate, close relationship, not just a superficial acquaintance. You hear the difference? An intimate relationship connected to Christ, not a superficial relationship. Jesus desires us to be intimate with Jesus. And this happens when we practice being intimate with Jesus through prayer, through Scripture, for worship, through selfless giving, through service. And we can do that best when we keep the commandment which Jesus gave. And Scripture goes on. It was a long Scripture. I know it, right? It was a long one to read. It was a long one to hear. I understand. The second part of that, after the vine stuff, is the commandment to love one another and to love God. That's the way that we can abide in Christ, is by loving God and loving one another. And that's how we live out Jesus' commandments for us. As we live abiding in Christ, that is when we bear fruit. When we have that intimate relationship, when we live closely with Jesus, then we can bear fruit for Jesus Christ. I imagine some of you are bearing fruit. What kind of fruit might you be bearing or being called to bear for Jesus Christ? And this is a conversation I've been having with the confirmands. I'm meeting with them one-on-one over these last couple weeks and next week, and I'm asking them, what are they being called to do? How are they being called to abide in Jesus Christ? We had a whole list of people on the screen, and people stood up. Our Sunday school teachers, discipleship leaders, they're all called to bear fruit by preparing a lesson and leading and teaching children and youth and adults. Those who helped with shared blessings yesterday and other weeks that happen are bearing fruit by providing this safe place where they can get a meal and know the love of Jesus Christ. As Dusty said, Sunday morning doesn't happen without a lot of preparation and a lot of people doing their part. And so we have lots of Sunday servants blessing us and bearing fruit so that when you come into worship, it makes a difference. Those that are in gigs, those that are in classes, those that are in Sunday school are bearing fruit as they learn and grow in the faith. My friends, I want to ask you, are you abiding in Christ? Are you living in that intimate relationship? Are you doing it so you can be a difference maker in this community? Christ promises that if we live in intimate relationship, that we will be fruitful for his sake. Hear the words again from John 15:5-8. And this is actually from The Message, so a different version than Gail read. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. No, nothing different there. When you're joined with me and I with you, then the relationship is intimate and organic, and the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated from you, I can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown in the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. My friends, here at First United Methodist Church in Tipton, we are called to do ministry together as a church, as the body of Christ, together, abiding in Christ on the vine. So I implore you, don't separate yourself from the vine. Don't separate yourself from one another, from this church, from prayer, from the Word of God, because we can make an eternal difference together and be fruitful together. So I ask you, do you desire to be connected to the vine of Jesus Christ? If so, what kind of fruit are you bearing? No fruit, a little fruit, a lot of fruit? God wants us all to produce a lot of fruit. God is the God of abundance. And the plan from the beginning of time is that we would always abide in the vine. There are people that need to hear this message, and I invite you, implore you, next week we want to have a guest day. So what that means is if there's somebody living near you or you work with or you go to school with that doesn't know about being in an intimate relationship with Christ, doesn't know about coming to church or worship or Sunday school, I'm inviting you to invite them, to bring a guest. And don't just invite them. Don't just superficially invite and then just call it good. But say, hey, can I pick you up on my way to church, on my way to my gig, on my way to children's Sunday school? And bring them in. Because we have this amazing thing to offer, this eternal life, eternity connected to the vine of Jesus Christ. We can all make a difference when we abide in Christ, when we stay connected to the vine. I invite you to think about who could be connected with us. on the vine. Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for allowing us to be connected to you on the vine. Prune us as needed, and then help us to be fruitful for you. Help us to share your love with others. Help us to love as you love. Amen. As we continue on in our worship this morning, we have this opportunity to be generous with our gifts. That's another way we can abide in the vine. And so I invite you to be generous with those gifts, and our young people are going to lead us in singing as they abide in Christ that way.